The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, many of you will be familiar with the How to Gael podcast, but if you aren't, it has been driving conversations through and about the Irish language. And they have just launched a little mini series within the How to Gael podcast, the not contentious at all How to Unite Ireland podcast. The six-part series features some big names, including Taoiseach Micheál Martin and GAA President Jarlath Burns. And I am delighted to be joined now in studio by one of the hosts of the How to Gael podcast, Dhiren Ní Gealaíochán. Dhiren, for people who don't know much about the podcast, tell us a little bit about it and How to Unite Ireland.
Well, there you go. Well, I wouldn't. Contentious now is an interesting choice of words. We've a massive intake of listeners since we put out our latest episode, our mini series of asking the question of How to Unite Ireland. But it's, I suppose, How to Gael is a bilingual podcast. We always describe it as a gateway drug. There's a huge upsurge in the amount of interest that people have in the Irish language and Irish culture. And I suppose sometimes people feel a little bit intimidated because they don't want to jump in the deep end listening to things like Radio an the Gaeltachta or TG Car because they don't feel that they have confidence in their level of fluency. So by kind of weaving the Irish language in and out of our conversations, it, I suppose, makes people a little bit less intimidated by the language. So that's How to Gael is. I mean, we just sit around and talk to each other about issues in our day-to-day life. So it's very easy listening in that regard.
A brilliant idea. And I think, I've heard loads of people talking about it. But why How to Unite Ireland? Because that's that is a thorny issue.
I suppose thorny again. I think that's an interesting choice of words. I think look, we come from a generation of people that are never going to be able to afford to buy a house in Ireland. We come from a generation.
Well, we hope that's not the case.
Well, but we hope it's not the case, but unfortunately, it's lived experience by our listeners and by our age.
It's definitely a perception out there among you, because I know my own kids would say that about themselves too. So I definitely, whether it's the case or not, the perception is there.
Yeah, that's it. I suppose that. And a lot of people, you know, who have been emigrating, who feel. Our listeners are people who are, you know, living abroad, who want to have a stake in Ireland, but maybe feel like at the moment it's not the most hospitable place for them because of the housing crisis or rise cost of living in Ireland at the moment. To be very ambitious maybe in our thinking, and I love what Mary McAleese talks about, the idea of building a new house and somewhere that we can all live in and feel like we have a stake in the society and reimagine, you know, what life looks like in Ireland, can be kind of an inspiring conversation.
It's interesting. I said contentious and Shane said thorny and you thought that was interesting. But Micheál Martin, when he was talking to you, said that he thinks people of your generation view United Ireland different to people of older generations. And that's been borne out, I think, in the first 3 minutes in the room between us, because I do see it as slightly contentious because I know what you're saying about, and it's a lovely idea building a new house. But for example, we spoke last week on our show about whether or not the tricolour would have to go in United Ireland. And I put up a little poll on Instagram. In excess of 80% of people said, no bloody way, we're getting rid of the tricolour. Doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. The day before, we had talked about dual signage in Queen's on the show, Irish and English language in Queen's University. We ended up with somebody from the unionist community, one of the students, and somebody from the nationalist community. Big mad row, no agreement whatsoever. So to me, it is very clear that it is a contentious issue. And I think it's kind of nice, but I'm actually really interested in that you think do you think it's kind of a done deal?
No, I don't think it's a done deal at all. And I suppose things like flags, that I'm not married to any notion of that. So things like that don't really bother me. I suppose
by the way, I'm not either. I would give up the tricolour if I thought that it would make transition peaceful and all. You know, I in my head, a united Ireland means that we have to show respect, and I'm going to say it, whether we like it or not, for the unionist culture in the same way, because marginalising the unionist and the loyalist community in a united Ireland, I think will have the exact same effects as marginalising the nationalist community in Northern Ireland had. And so to me, let's not make the same stupid mistakes.
Oh, totally. But I think all conversations around unity now, like, God, that would be an awful way to go into things, to say we want to make you feel unwelcome, or that you're, you know, that I think there's a space for everybody. I think we live in a really multicultural society at the moment. It's a very different Ireland now than it was 10 years ago. And isn't that a great thing to celebrate, all this multiculturalism? And there's space for everybody in Ireland.
I hope so, because, because my fears is that even talk of United Ireland raises sectarian tensions north of the border in particular, and even a little bit south of the border sometimes, as in the people saying
we have to talk about
no
it.
To tricolours, like, etc.
Yeah.
I think that's it is really important that we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, my worry is that we'll have a border poll without doing the talking about it, and I think that would be the worst possible thing.
I totally agree with that, but I think how we approach the language or the conversation as well is a huge thing. Like, you know, the adjectives you use, like, I find it to be a very inspiring and exciting conversation, because it's like, we could do something totally different and new here, and let's all talk about it and hear what everybody from every side of Ireland thinks about it, and how can we find a middle ground, you know, that everybody is going to be happy in.
I love that. Yeah. I really like what you're saying, and I genuinely mean that. No shade whatsoever. But my only, and my hope is that kind of positivity and optimism might bring people with you, with/us, with whoever. Mm. My fear is that that's, dare I say it, a tiny bit naive, that honestly, you want to see the texts we were getting in when we were talking about a United Ireland last
week. Yeah.
They were sectarian texts.
Yeah.
From actually mostly from the nationalist side, saying it's kind of screw them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that's regardless of what issue you're talking about, speaking about other human beings.
What do you hope to achieve from the podcast? I mean, are you going to look for the unionist perspective?
Yeah, we spoke to some young unionists as well. And I think what we're trying to achieve from it, look, we're trying to start a conversation and a debate. And it's an issue that resonates with a lot of our listeners. It's an issue that resonates with young people.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, look, whether you agree with it or not, there is that feeling amongst young people of hopelessness in a way. And you have to be ambitious and radical in your thinking that, like, there's more out there for all of us, not just for one cohort.
A new vision.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And that's, you know, if you weren't thinking optimistically about it and ambitiously about it, well, for God's sake, you'll have to, you know, give up altogether. So it's just trying to start a conversation with people and learning from people. That's the big thing as well. Learning from people north and south of the border, learning from people with loads of different lived experiences and with loads of different areas of expertise. You know, we have young unionists, we have, you know,
what kind of attitudes did you find from the young unionists? I'm curious. Was there any openness to the idea, or were they very closed off?
Well, you see, the thing about it is, quite open to the idea. I think the day of you defining yourself by what religion you are is gone amongst younger generations. I think now
not
it's a class.
Not north of the border, I suspect.
Well, we spoke to young unionists and look, obviously you can't sit down and speak to every single person,
but I think it's more of
a class thing now. It's a class thing as opposed to you're Catholic and I'm Protestant. We need to move beyond that. Who cares? You know, I was brought up as a Catholic, but it's a very long time since I've been in Mass. You know, so that doesn't... And look, of course, I'm from south of the border, not north of the border, so it's a very different experience. But I think...
And the Alliance Party would bear out, I suppose, a softening of those old views. And I do like... By the way, I'm going to check this out because I'm interested and I like to hear this conversation being had. I think you're totally right, Shane, that we need to be having these conversations in advance of border polls, etc. Mm. But I like where you're coming from and kind of an open-minded... broad church, and I mean that church loosely, a broad church approach to all this. So I do like it.
Mm.
And maybe, do you know what, maybe I'm just a bit jaded about the topic that I kind of go, God, will they ever sort their differences out kind of thing?
Well, look, there's a lot of trauma there and there's no doubt about that. But I think we need to try and move beyond that now. And, you know, we have that reconciliation. That's it. And the Taoiseach said it himself. You know, what does that look like? Well, we have to extend the hand of friendship, and those kind of triggers that we all have with the question of a United Ireland, you know, try and move beyond that, work through the trauma
together.
Hold hands and hug.
That's really interesting that as well, what you said, that young unionists are open to the conversation and to discussing, I presume, what it might look like.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
So if people are tuning in, I suppose, pitch it to us. What what can they expect if they tune in terms of the United Ireland aspect? I know obviously there'll be some Oscailga, some Imerla, but what can they expect from the conversations you're having?
I think people feel very intimidated sometimes. It's like a big political question like this. This is very like a normal, you know, like a podcast is very chilled out conversation where we're learning just as much as, you know, any listener is. So it's kind of, you know, diluting that very intimidating language and just, you know, sitting down with people and being like, look, what does this look like? Okay, so we know Taoiseach Micheál Martin, he spoke about his Shared Island initiative and all of that. Our next episode that comes out on Thursday, we sit down with economist Stephen Kinsella and he tries to break down, you know, the economics behind the whole thing. We have Jarlett Burns on as well and he talks about the importance of culture and GA and bridging community gaps. And it just, I suppose, breaks it down in layman's terms for people when you're out for a walk, when you're driving to work. Try to think about this a little bit differently. Challenge, you know, those perceptions that we all have about it. And let's all get involved. This conversation only works if everybody's involved and everybody feels like they can get involved and that it's not a conversation that's not for me.
Let me ask you a final question. Yeah. Do you think there'll be a United Ireland in, I mean, you're a good bit younger than myself and Ciara, do you think there'll be a United Ireland in your lifetime?
I hope so. We know that the north of Ireland is the most dangerous place in the UK to be a woman. So I, you know, for all people living on this island, I think it would be really exciting if we could build a new society where everybody feels safe in. As a young woman, you know, I hope that that's the future.
And does the United Ireland, do you think United Ireland would change that?
I would think that we get to build a new state from the ground up. And how many countries get that opportunity? That's a really exciting prospect for anybody. There's a lot to figure out. It's a long road ahead of us. Mm. But I think we have to be optimistic in our thinking.
I have a last question for you. For those of us who are not great at Irish, could I listen into the pod and understand everything that was going on more or less?
Oh, totally, Ciara. I feel so confident that I'd be happy to put a bet on with you. I think
I have a coupla fuckle, but
I bet you'd really surprise
yourself. It's very coupla.
But that's okay. I think you'd really surprise yourself. I think this is, again, it's kind of like the notion, that barrier that we have in our heads. We're like, oh, we're not going to go there with the question of United Ireland. And sometimes people feel like that about the Irish language because they feel, you know, maybe they didn't have a great experience with it or they just aren't confident in the levels that they have.
I'm not. But I am interested.
Surprise yourself. I think we're trying to get away from the shame that we all have inherently in the Irish language.
You have a tour?
Yes. We are just back from London and Paris. There you go. And we're in Cork on Saturday, actually, in the Cork Opera House. And then we have another date in the Ambassador Theatre on the 8th of October. So there you go.
You're taking it live to the people.
Absolutely. There you go. It'll be a bit of crack.
If people want to find tour dates, where do they go?
Everything's on Instagram these days, isn't it? You can just look us up on Instagram, How to Gael, and we have a website and it's all up there.
Dearanna Galachán, thank you very much for joining us. What did you make of it, Shane?
It's a hugely complex question, United Ireland. I'm not sure I'd use as the starting point, this is a way to build a new society. I don't think you tackle housing or really serious issues like domestic abuse through United Ireland. I don't really see how there are issues that should be tackled in their own right. I don't see United Ireland as a way into that. Look, here's the things that need to be addressed. The economic and fiscal issues. There's huge economic issues and fiscal issues. Northern Ireland is hugely dependent on the British Exchequer. That issue will have to be addressed. There's a huge public sector there. There's much less private sector employment. There are huge issues around flags and anthems and so on that has to be addressed. I'm not as convinced as Darren that unionists are open to the conversation. Some might be, but there's many, many unionists who, for whom the idea of United Ireland is still so, so far away. I regard myself as a nationalist. I would like the idea of United Ireland, but I think we are some way off that point. And I think we need to there's a lot of boxes that need to be ticked and a lot of conversations that need to be had.
We are going to hear from Trevor Ringland, a unionist, a little bit later on in the show in response to what Dearan had to say. I liked her optimism, although, and I did ask her, was it naivety? But I liked her optimism, but I also think that the division is much deeper and harder to simply move beyond.
Go to one of the peace walls in Belfast, and that'll give you a good indication of how entrenched the divide still is. And religion is still very, very
so
much
many textures coming through there, Shane. Someone says here, why would the North, Catholic or Protestant, want to join the Republic? It's so much cheaper for everything up there, houses, cars, insurance, fuel. Just living is easier. My Catholic relations in Down hate the idea. The Republic of Ireland has nothing to offer. It is cheaper north of the border, you're quite right, because as a society, people are much poorer. I mean, in terms of financial wealth, it's a much poorer society, and so it is cheaper, yes.
Yeah, that's it. I just think that's it's nonsense. Many things are better here, including, by the way, our health service, even though people don't actually think it is. Think you're contributing to United Ireland is totally naive, says Olive in Kildare. Another listener says, I regularly listen to BBC Radio Ulster. We're light years away from persuading loyalists that we would be welcome in a United Ireland.
Someone says, as someone born in the North but spent my entire life in the South, I think a change of thinking is required. Getting away from the wording of United Ireland, maybe start thinking about an All-Ireland, is instantly makes our Ireland feel
That's
a bit more inclusive.
Just a thought,
unity of people, not land.
Yeah, I think he has a point in that.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman,
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range,
weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.